Even in the time of, soon after the Lord, there were all kinds of people running around, preaching the gospel and perverting the gospel and handling the word of God deceitfully. Now for a recompense in the same, be ye also enlarged. A recompense, a repayment, correspondence, you know. So he's saying, our heart is enlarged, our mouth is open. You are not brought into a tight place by us, in us, but you are in yourself brought into a tight place. You're constraining yourself. Now for a recompense in the same, if you want to be, I speak as unto my children, being as one instructing his children, be ye also enlarged. Meaning, open your heart to us. Listen and obey the words I'm speaking to you. I'm not constraining you. I'm trying to make you successful and profitable in the grace of God, that you should not receive it in vain. That's the ultimate subject, and I think that's what he's getting at. Look at the next verse. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Having these promises, verse 7, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Wow. Let us perfect holiness. Let's perfect holiness. Let's take holiness and bring it to perfection. You ever heard that taught about? I mean, do people in church generally get it? Let's encourage everyone to perfect holiness. No, I'm not some holy roller. I'm not some perfectionist. I mean, gosh, I'm a sinner just like you. Let's go sin together maybe for a while. Don't be unequally yoked. It means yoked up differently. You know, it goes in so many things. Do not, when oxen are put together in a yoke to work together, you don't put a real strong one next to a real weak one. You don't put more than that, you wouldn't put like a horse and an ox. That's a better analogy. Or put one, or have two oxes and put a different kind of yoke on one and a different kind on the other. It would cause them to pull differently. It's a simple analogy to agriculture. Because the idea is you will not be able to plow efficiently. And not just that. It is commanded that we should not do so. You know, don't join hands with unbelievers to do your works. It doesn't mean you cannot have, you know, obviously, Paul says, I wrote a letter unto you not to have fellowship with sinners or unrighteous, I forgot the exact terminology, with the ungodly, whatever. But I mean not altogether the ungodly of the world, but if a brother be, etc. So there is a degree to which, yeah, we have interaction with the people, but being yoked together with them. And let's say, I would consider it like, you're going to go into a business partnership. I would definitely not want to go into it with an unbeliever. It would just seem to me, maybe I don't have that right. Certainly, you don't want to start a church with an unbeliever. Right? Because, now it's interesting, in order to confirm this idea, he says, well, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? It's a good question. Because in many churches, that is the doctrine that fellowship, righteousness hath fellowship with unrighteousness. That Christ imputes righteousness to you, but he does not impart righteousness to you, so that you will be righteous and unrighteous at the same time. I know God does impute righteousness, of course. He looks at us as righteous before we do the works. Because he saves us before the foundations of the world. And the sacrifice of Christ makes God... It doesn't mean he doesn't know we have sin or whatever, but he treats with us as sons, though we still be filthy. But we need to get cleaned up. Because righteousness and unrighteousness have nothing in common. You can't have both. You can't have righteousness and unrighteousness. All you have when you have righteousness and unrighteousness is unrighteousness. Because, you know, as any good lie contains many elements of truth, so unrighteousness contains many elements of righteousness. I mean, very few people are pure evil. I mean, even Hitler loved his dog. And he loved his mistress. And etc. I mean, the man had human qualities. And so did every other wicked man in the earth. They all had, they weren't all evil. Pure evil. You know, like a black tar in a jug. It's like, ooh, it's just pure evil. It's pure blackness, like darkness. Darkness flees from light. Light and darkness have no fellowship. When the light shines in darkness, the darkness flees away. There's no communion there. They don't mix. Where there is darkness, now we talk about relative darkness, like it's getting dark. Oh, it's dark tonight, but it's all relative. True darkness has no light in it. It's kind of an interesting opposite of righteousness and unrighteousness, because righteousness has no unrighteousness in it. And darkness, true darkness, has no light in it. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth, you know, with an infidel? One who does not believe. Infidel. That's become such a taboo word. No one likes to say that anymore, because infidel. But because it's the word, you know, it's considered a pejorative term. But it's the same word in verse 14 as unbelievers. Fide, faith, belief.